Good morning. Well, it's not such a good morning after all. One of those Sundays when it's tough to swallow. Brutal loss yesterday to the Vanderbilt Commodores. Ooh. Yeah, that's what it is. We're going to size that up today. Take it on. Orange Blue Blood Show is on the air, and we're going to talk to Ben Troop soon. He wants the link again. Ben always wants the link, although it's the same every week, Ben. I'll send it to you again. So we're going to sort this thing out here and try to figure out exactly where to go from here. This is a tough week. When your dreams go up in smoke, like they did for Benny Gator fans yesterday, it's hard. And you got to start over again. You need a mulligan. You need something. It's one of those things where you're trying to decide. You want to be loyal to your school, and you want to be positive. But when you lose to Vanderbilt, it's hard. Let's do this. We'll send Ben the link, and we'll join you here on the other side for Orange and Blue Blood Sunday. Come and join us on the program. Good to be with you today. This is the time for all Gators to stop and reflect and think and say, where do we go from here?
Yes, it's time again for Buddy Martin. Call him up and tell him what you're thinking. But be kind because he's doing the best he can.
Better. Stronger. Faster.
Mama says that alligators are ornery because they got all them teeth but no toothbrush.
What if the voice calls while you're gone?
Take a message.
Bye.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
I'm incapable of small talk. But that's why you love me, right?
Kind of intimidating to be in the presence of so many great athletes.
Well, good morning. As I said, not necessarily such a good morning, but good to be with you again today. This is what we do on Sundays. Sometimes your team wins, and sometimes your team doesn't win. And yesterday was an anomaly. I don't even have time to look it up today, but maybe some of you geniuses out there can. I don't remember the last time, I know it probably happened, that Florida lost to both Kentucky and Vanderbilt in the same year. And I thought, well, it's got to be 1979 because they lost so many games. No, didn't play Vandy that year. So we go from there. We'll start with this today. And here are my quick thoughts. And Ben now has joined us in the Orange or Blue Room to discuss this matter. Let's be men and women about it. This one left a mark, okay? And on this program, we tend to want to emphasize the good stuff, right? We want to talk about the things that the reason we're Gator fans. And sometimes you want to just flat give up on your team, wave the white flag, and say, I can't take this anymore. And I get that. It's okay to want to vent. It's okay to feel that way about it. It's okay to be full of anguish and gnashing your teeth. Don't want you to start jumping off ledges and throwing things. But I get it. So let's get on with this thing. Let's start this program with a message from our friends, Jeffrey Melton.
Jeffrey, what are you doing?
Well, I'm joining the band, of course, since Melton Law is the official law firm partner of the Florida Gators.
Yeah, sorry about that, Jeffrey. We'll start you again.
Well, I'm joining the band, of course. Since Melton Law is the official law firm partner of the Florida Gators, I want to help.
Dad, we're litigators. Let's stick to helping people in the courtroom.
Well, can we still hang out and jam a little bit? At Meldon Law, we won't back down.
All right, thanks very much. I think we got Ben here. Is that you, Ben? Good morning to you. Hello, Ben.
Good morning, buddy.
Yeah, nice to see you. And we heard from our friend Jeffrey Meldon, and we're going to do this real quick and hear from our friends, other friends at Titan MRI, and we'll be right back with Ben.
Things have certainly got a little out of hand lately when it comes to just buying our everyday necessities. Just look at gas, streaming services, and heck, even chicken wings. Well, there is one necessity that shouldn't cost a ton. Taking care of yourself and helping fix all the aches and pains in life. And the fine folks at Titan MRI agree. With costs a fraction of what you'd pay at a hospital, you'll not only save money, you'll be taken care of by staff with over 20 years experience. So when you need an MRI, call Titan first and you can go where your doctors send their families. Now offering CAT scans.
All right, thanks very much, Jeff. Let's go right to the Orange and Blue Room. I'm going to start out the program after saying good morning to Ben again. This one left a mark, a bad mark. It hurts, kind of shaking our faith a little bit. We're going to need Pastor Ben to bring us back this morning into reality. But let's be honest here. We don't sugarcoat it. It's gut check time for the Orange and Blue Bloods. Now, don't overreact, but it's okay to vent, and it's okay to express your concern. Let's be honest. Vanderbilt 31, Florida 24. That's correct score. Not a misprint, not a bad name. So where do we want to go with this? And I'll start with Dan Bond. Good morning to you. Johnny Payne, Marshall Meadows, David Aronoff, Jeff Beers, John Terrell, Gene McClain, John Brock, Toby C. Permitter, David Aronoff again. So Ben, good morning. I know it was not happy times, but we're going to need a sermon this morning. You need to lay it out for us.
Well, I mean, the thing about football is, man, I think the thing that people need to understand is I don't think it's gut check time as much as you think, but it happens. I think what happens is Vandy always looked at as Vandy. What Vandy showed us 2 weeks ago, they can go out there and play with the best of them because they just beat Kentucky. So people saying, oh, that was a fluke. They beat Kentucky. They're not going to beat Florida. It was more or less the name versus the no name. You got Florida, which is a big name, and obviously Vandy, which is not a big name. But the thing about it is Vandy is always scratching and clawing for respect. Like, people got to understand, 6 wins at Florida is a bad year. 6 wins at Vanderbilt, that is a great year, especially when they don't win a lot of games in conference and out of conference. Now, I didn't like the loss, but when you start looking at the game and you start breaking certain things down, I want people to understand this. I am never ever going to do this again. Kirby Smart got to Georgia in 2016. You know what his record was? 8-5. You know who he lost to? Vanderbilt. He lost to Vandy his first year at Georgia, right? You know who else he lost to that year? Ole Miss. He also lost to Tennessee. He also lost to Florida. He also lost to Georgia Tech. Now, he's gotten a lot better since then. I am not making excuses for what happened yesterday, but always remember, Coach Burr used to always tell us this, that F on your chest and that name on your back is not good enough to make you think you're going to go out there and beat everybody. Vanderbilt played like a team that was playing to try to get to its fifth win to hope, and obviously because of what happened yesterday with Tennessee, they have a better shot than people gave them going into yesterday to actually get the 6 wins. Yes, Vanderbilt is always going to be that team, my buddy, that you think you should have your best shot with. But when you go back and look at the game, we were doing things that we've never done, like not run the football, not try to run the football. Anthony Richardson didn't pull it. I don't know what was going on. I think it's great he had 400 yards passing. We did not do what we did. Ventrell Miller, that kind of stuff, that gets you beat. Because you want our best players. Jay Marshall, what in the world is that? Like, when you start doing things in football, buddy, that never happens. 2 things when it comes to punts and kickoffs. So everybody know, the only way you run a kickoff out is if you catch the ball moving forward. And you never field a punt inside the 5 or 10-yard line going backwards. No one does that. And and guess what? And what was the difference in the game? A touchdown. Does it make the game totally different? Yes. Should we have scored more in the red zone instead of walking away with 3 points? Yes. But at the end of the day, buddy, we said this. Every single week with this team is a litmus test. Every single week. Because it's a head scratcher. You go, wait a minute. but you almost beat Tennessee, and you score 35, against LSU, and you dominated Texas. That has nothing to do with Saturday. That, and I just think that when people start asking, why does Billy Napier so adamant on mentality, getting back to fundamentals, getting back to the basics, letting it go. That's what happens, people. And I'm not gonna take anything away from Vanderbilt. As a person that lived in Nashville for 4 years and understand just how rough it is to be a Commodore, just how rough it is to be one of two SEC schools in that state that get no respect, none. No one respects Vanderbilt. Nobody. And I think that what we learned yesterday, yes, I got my humble pie today. Yes. But guess what? They just beat Kentucky a week before. The same team that beat Florida. It doesn't matter if Florida didn't have a good game. So they said, we get tired of being bottom feeders in the SEC East. You know what Florida's done in 2 years? Two losing records in the SEC East. Two. Yes, Kamara did drop a pick six, right? I get it. Kamara also got lost in the sauce when that tight end caught a touchdown pass because I don't know who he's looking at. Like, got to cover the people that's right there in front of you. You can't get punts going backwards, right? You got to run the football. But with all that being said, we still had a chance to win it. With everything that happened, Florida still had a chance to win it. They lost. Now you got to get back to the drawing board, hoping to try to get a big win against your in-state rival in Florida State on Friday night. Still got a chance to go 8-5. 9-4 is out the window. It's out the window. But I'm not going to make excuses for Florida, man. I'm never going to do that. Florida is too good of a team to let the type of things that happened yesterday happen. Ventrell Miller will miss the first half of Florida State. Why? Because of selfishness. And I'm telling you, the difference in winning and losing. Buddy, did you think South Carolina was going to beat Tennessee like that yesterday? No. Nobody did.
Let's get into those games in a minute. Now, you're right. I want to get into that. How's the rest of the world going these days? The craziest season. But right now, let me just say, let's deal with this in front of us. We don't sugarcoat. Nope. Mistakes were made. About every mistake you could make, from muff punts, to poor throws, to drop balls, to fumbles, everything you could possibly think.
And there it is. Everything you just said. Think about it. When Billy Napier comes in front of the team, he goes, Vanderbilt has nothing to do with us dropping passes. Vanderbilt has nothing to do with us committing penalties. Vanderbilt has nothing to do with
stupid penalties. They were costly.
I mean, Ventrell. Think about it, Ventrell. I can say Ventrell's name out. He's been there for 6 years. For what? Like, what frustrates coaches and stuff like that? What is that against Vanderbilt? So you play incredible all year. You're gonna get a targeted call. That's Marshall. That is unacceptable. If you are
Bernie, Bernie's been one of the most consistent guys there. A stupid holding penalty. They were pinned up. They had him back there. There were two or three penalties. They're just absolutely terrible. And then before you finish this, let me say this. We can't just fire the coach and bench the quarterback, which is what people want to do. It's frustrating and disappointing, but here's why. Instead of progress, we got regress. There's so much riding on this team. Look, I'm going to say, we've gone two steps forward and four backwards. I was wrong. I'm going to say it for you. I was wrong. I thought Billy's team had turned the corner. I wrote it last week after talking to Scott Strickland. I think there's a good all probability they're going to go up and beat Vandy, come back and maybe beat FSU. But I was wrong. They didn't turn. They're not turning the program around. I thought they were. The blinker light is on, but they never made the turn. And this is why it's such a costly defeat. It's not just Vanderbilt. It's that this program had dug itself out since the second half of Georgia in that third period. They found something in the last 2 weeks. Now they're playing right back into the hands of the people who said, well, they never turned it around. They weren't any good to start with, and you all guys were sunshine bumpers or whatever. Yeah. So from that standpoint, I confess, I called it wrong. I thought they turned it around. Now, do I quit on Billy Napier? No. Do I quit on Anthony Richardson? No. But I got to say, I'm among those who caused us to think that we were moving on. And so, like I said yesterday, old-time Gators, have seen this scary movie in Nashville a bunch of times. All right, the stumbles, the fumbles, the drops, the slips, the penalties, the musts, etc. And they were trailing by 14-6 at halftime in a game that favored by 14. Napier even told his team, told the announcers, "You better turn this around. Wake up." He was pissed, okay? But he didn't get it done because why? You can't mail them in, and you can't go up there. It's just Vandy. Because things go wrong, Ben. You play enough. It gets windy out there, as we saw. You know, it's a crappy stadium, a plane in the morning. There are no fans in the stands, you know. And Vandy was playing for something else, you know. And Florida's like, okay, well, we'll just throw a touchdown back. Now, let me say this and I'll let you take over. I'm going to say this because I'm not making excuses. But when you're down to your second and third string receivers, there are guys playing out there. Most people, we didn't know their names. All right? And you're throwing to those receivers, your timing is bound to be off. And it was, no doubt about it. I don't blame Anthony Richardson, although where in the hell was he throwing the ball to Hail Mary through the stands? I mean, that was ridiculous. I mean, really. So there's enough blame to go around, and I blame primarily the coaching staff. The coaching staff didn't have this team ready to play. They didn't have, and then the team that didn't execute the plan. So they're all to blame. It's embarrassing. It hurts. They better dig deep because they could get their butts handed to them in Tallahassee.
No, but everything you say is correct. And know this, though. Listen, there are people that no matter what Florida does, they can't wait for them to do something bad so they can jump on them. There are people like that. There are people that no matter what Florida does, they're going to be supporters. There are people like that. And then you got the people in the middle, right? That's where we come in. We try to do our best to make sure we remain in the middle. Not too high with the highs, not too low with the lows. Just keep it right there in the middle. Here's the thing about Vanderbilt when it comes to a Florida team, right? If you are Vandy, you cannot stand Florida. Why? Because Florida gets what Vanderbilt never gets, and that's the benefit of the doubt. People are saying, oh, my God, it's Vanderbilt. But this is the thing about this Florida team, right? This is the thing. Two of Florida's losses are going to play in Atlanta. Two of them. They're playing in Atlanta. One is undefeated, right? And the other one has lost two games, with one in the SEC, the other one against Florida State. So Florida State, who they're playing on Friday, beat the team they play, beat the team that's going to go to Atlanta. When you talk about this Vanderbilt game, buddy, this, when you start talking like the way you were saying about the penalties, that has nothing to do with Vanderbilt, right? And you're right, the Hail Mary, the whole stadium, even Vanderbilt fans are like, what was that?
Yeah, really?
Like, it's almost like the football awareness. Like, okay, one, I got to learn the scheme. Two, I want to know how I fit in the scheme. Three, I want my instinct to take over, and then I want my IQ to take over.
Yeah.
What was that, Anthony? It's almost like you're going. It's like when you threw it. Everybody's like,
what? What was like, that?
What was that?
That's a disconnect. Complete disconnect.
And at the end of the day, listen. At the end of the day, like you said, nobody's gonna feel bad for Florida. Florida got a big one coming up, but it's just hard to watch sometimes, buddy, because you're thinking, are they going to let Anthony Richardson pull the ball today? I know it's up to him to pull it. I know it's but great teams take nobody for granted. Good teams, right, will take everybody for granted. And teams trying to find their niche, you don't know what their mindset is.
Yeah.
And the thing about Florida is, do I think Florida got a shot to be a good team? Yeah. Do I think that what Billy Napier is preaching is resonating? Yes, because once you kick that ball off, right, once you kick it off, it's up to the players. And I'm going to say that to the end. I don't care what they call, because it's only a bad play when it doesn't work. It's a great play when it works. And it be they're not calling new plays in what, week 11? They're not calling brand new plays, right? Montrell and E.T. and those guys, and Anthony Richard, they got to make it happen. But defense, look, you can't lose these tight ends in coverage. Kamara, you got to make that pick. You got to do the difference in winning and losing is when your number is called. That's what coaches used to tell us. So I do agree with you, buddy. It's Vanderbilt right now. Florida feel just like Kentucky, because everybody will say Vanderbilt beat Kentucky. Now you would think that would be the wake-up call. They just beat Kentucky a week before.
Yeah.
So what makes it? Yeah, but we should have beat Kentucky, but you didn't.
We can go up there, roll the ball out, and beat them. We don't have to worry about it.
And you know what's crazy? You know what happened yesterday? That's that 9 times out of 10. Florida will beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
That was that one. That was that one yesterday. And listen, shout out to Vanderbilt, because like I said, Vanderbilt is 5-6.
Yeah.
Florida is 6-5. Vanderbilt, because of what happened with Tennessee, not saying they're going to beat them, because Tennessee going to play very, very, you know, man football. Yeah. But if Vanderbilt does indeed get the 6 wins, that's coach of the year type stuff.
No doubt about it. Let me inject one thing so we can move to the next subject of what happened to other teams last night in the SEC. And that is this. This is a good point Scott Sloan brings up. Okay? I know it's not one. It's what I thought about today. I turned on the TV last night. I see Maryland playing Ohio State toe-to-toe down by 3. I see who's catching passes. Copeland, catching passes. Then I look at the roster and see Whittemore. Where's he gone? He gone. He's out. All right, so I'm saying to myself, and I don't blame it on the wide receivers, but you needed some more help because there were balls dropped. Don't tell me that Whittemore couldn't have helped this team. I put that on the coaches.
It could have helped them all year.
I'll never understand that.
Another reason why I'll never ever get into coaching, buddy, is because I understand hierarchy. I understand chain of command. But I'm like you, buddy. I'm like this. Listen, man. At the end of the day, right, everybody has a niche. Every single football player. You telling me you can't find a way to get Whittemore in the game?
Exactly. We know it's not his character. We know that. We know he catches the ball.
I know this. Pearsall comes over from ASU. Obviously, he's going to be a number one. If you are a current player on that roster and you've been there longer than Billy Napier's been there, sometimes because I'm not going to do anything to bring any negative attention to myself or to the team, but sometimes you're like, look, man, I work for this. I'm not asking y'all for playing time. I've earned this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Guys leave schools not because they don't like the school. They understand if I'm not a part of the present plan, you think I'm going to be a part of the future plan?
Right.
No, I got to get it. So I respect a lot of these players leaving. But yes, a team like Vanderbilt showed you what you lack. I don't care about the 400 yards passing and the 3 touchdowns. It could have been a lot more, and the game could have been a lot not even close. Yeah. You got to make plays first in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, not just in the fourth. But shout out to them Vandy boys. Right now, they are toasting in the city in Nashville. Because I know.
Yeah, but I live down in Florida. I don't care about Nashville. I toasted on Nashville. I don't know people in Nashville. So anyway, so let's get to this. And I know that we got Lauren standing by in the orange and blue room. We'll bring him in just a second. But I wanted to say this, Ben. The SEC. Now, watching last night, I watched all those games last night, UCLA, USC, whatever. And watching SEC, what in the world happened to those Volunteers in Columbia? Frankly, I didn't see that one coming at all. I mean, really.
I like chaos, buddy. What you're seeing is this. Let me tell you what we do, and it's hard to not do it. Let me tell you what we do. You got preseason narratives. It's going to be the year for Alabama. They got Will Anderson. They got Bryce Young. They got the two best players.
They've lost two already. They're out of the playoffs.
Then they lose. Then it's, they're not going to lose again, right? Then they lose again. All right, now we got Tennessee, Hendon Hooker. They got one loss against Georgia. Listen, they got the best shot to make the college football playoffs.
Got hammered by the Gamecocks. Hammered.
Then it's another thing. You got this team in Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, that's my next thing.
Got the brakes beat off them by Arkansas. Then you look at the way Auburn is playing right now for Cadillac. See, the thing about these storylines is, they don't fit the script. They don't fit the script of what we thought it was going to be. And when it doesn't, we think, hey, man, what happened? Dude, the SEC is supposed to be crazy top to bottom. We owe Brian Kelly, we owe him an apology. People thought, listen, I'm the all-time winningest coach in Notre Dame history. You don't think I know X's and O's? You don't think I can coach? What? That's the biggest storyline in the SEC this year is that of LSU. You know why? LSU gets a new coach, they still going to Atlanta. You know who another big storyline now in the SEC? USC. They've lost one, and I'm talking about the Trojans, not the Gamecocks. They're going to the Pac-12 championship.
And the Final Four, by the way.
and listen, you know who's not going anything? Oklahoma, Brent Venables. People thought, Oklahoma, you didn't put anybody. Nope. And guess who else won yesterday that nobody's talking about? The two biggest coaching, I think the three biggest coaching storylines. Auburn. Georgia Tech got a shot to get bowl eligible. They beat North Carolina yesterday. And I'm telling you, we get so caught up in certain stuff, buddy, as we should. And it's some great football being played around it. I did not see Tennessee losing like that. God. I mean,
It's the SEC. You know, Ole Miss is fixing to lose your coach. You know, you tell me that didn't affect the team. You got a team.
Lane Kiffin goes to Auburn after all of this, man. I'm like, come on.
Well, whoever. But the players don't know. They're left in limbo here. That's my point. It's a dangerous time.
Would you hire?
If I was at Auburn, yes, I would.
I mean, and you know why that's the easiest hire? Because this is what I don't get. Once again, this is what I don't get. The players should decide who you get, not these advisory boards.
But they got the money and all that. You know, the big money talks. You know how it goes.
At the same time, now, the Iron Bowl is going to be interesting because Alabama obviously ain't going that loud.
Well, the Egg Bowl. How about the Egg Bowl? That after the game, they're expecting Lane to resign after the Egg Bowl. And say he's going to Auburn, you know, whatever. But
you know, and if he does that, I'm on everybody listening right now. I don't want to hear nothing else about a player leaving. I don't want to hear nothing else about an 18 to 22 year old going to another school when you got grown men who's getting Lane Kiffin making good money. I know Auburn can pay better than Ole Miss, but in my mind, what? The only thing you can get at Auburn that you can't get at Ole Miss is a little bit more money. Right? I get that part. But if he leaves, hey, man, you know, I ain't mad at him, but I just know that coaches always don't get no slack
for
leaving. And these players get all the slack
for them. Yeah. All right, which brings up this point. Let's bring Lauren in here, too, to discuss this. Good question. Sherry James Ferguson. So, buddy, WTF do you want Billy to do? Okay. That's a good place to inject a few thoughts this morning as we bring our colleague in this morning with Lauren. What do you want him to do? Well, I'll put it like this. Yeah, so I know this guy could answer this. And go ahead, Lauren, real quick. Right, give me a short version. We'll come back to you. What do you want him to do?
I want him to get his team ready to play football.
I think that's it right there.
I mean, I think that, it's inexcusable for – you and I rarely text during games or even directly after the game, but I was really struggling as a member of the media, so-called, and then still being a fan. I found it inexcusable for that bunch not to be ready to play football yesterday. I know that you got the factors with the weather and people not being necessarily in the stands and things like that. But the way that football team had been playing the past couple weeks and, you know, being the least penalized team in the SEC, to just see some of the uncanny things that, you know, you consistently have to address certain issues throughout the week. Xavier Henderson was out. There was opportunity that Jason Marshall would have to go in and possibly return a punt. And kind of like Ben said, I lay a lot of the things that happen on Saturday at the feet of the coaching staff, and particularly Billy Napier. And what bugs me, I'll say, as a former coach, but also as a fan, is at some point in time, and Ben, you know this as well as anybody, when you get to this level and where we've been as men and things like that, perseverance, character, team building, when you get up every single week and say those same things, you're talking to grown men, but you're also talking to people that have played the game, played it at a high level, played it at the next level, different things like that. And it's like he's talking to Canapaha Middle School in Gainesville. I mean, at some point in time, the problem is you can play close to the vest, give coach speak, you know, when you're 9-1, when you've won some things and that kind of thing. What bothers me about Billy Napier is in a loss like this, at some point in time, I think it'd be better to throw yourself down on the sword, say it's on me, I'm going to get it corrected. I'm going to get it fixed. I'm going to make sure that this never happens again. Mm-hmm. Hats off to Vanderbilt, because you don't want to belittle your opponent. But at some point in time, we didn't do it. Now, he does say that we got to coach better. We got to do that. But absolutely say, from Monday to Friday, whether it be in the hotel room, in the facility, I did not get my superior roster ready to play football.
Yeah, not only that, but did he have the right roster? I brought up earlier, I turned on TV, I see Copeland catching passes for Maryland. You know, Whittemore could have helped that team, yet he never made the field. Why? I don't know why.
But buddy, my thing is, I mean, he had everything he needed right there. They had
400 okay.
and something yards in total offense. I mean, they held them.
I get it. But I'm talking about what Ben said. I'm answering her question. What could he have done? You said it, Ben.
Get him ready
to play. So I don't know. Let me just say this up front, and then you guys can chop it up. I still believe in Billy Napier. He's absolutely the right person for the job. I think Anthony Richardson is a special talent. He made some mistakes, but then what quarterbacks have not? How did Hendon Hooker do last night? I mean, it happens. It's the game. But I'm disappointed in one big thing. If you know your Gator history, and Gator fans, you old ones out there, you know what I'm saying. You know, Ben, you played. You got to be careful going to Vanderbilt. It's always been a trap. And Florida has gotten out by the skin of their teeth many years. Yeah. But the fact is, you can't rely on it. I wrote down here on my pad, 21-12, Florida's behind. I wrote down, AR has got to bring them back or else. Okay? That's what I wrote. And he didn't. And not all on him, but he's a quarterback. They got to know that if he's not accurate, tuck it and run. There were times he could have pulled it yesterday. You got to rely. But he's not an experienced player in that regard. It's a wake-up call. They didn't have him ready to play. You can't mail it in even when you go to Vanderbilt. This team was asleep at the wheel, and that I put on the coaches. Ben, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong, but neither is Lauren. See, the thing about it is this. This is what people don't get. People go, it's something wrong with Nick Saban. It's something wrong with Kirby. Look at the results. That's why they coach like that. They coach like that because of the result. Listen, at the end of the day, I think my parents love me. I think they do. You know, they raised me, right? But my daddy don't parent the same way my mama parent. They don't parent the same. They married each other. They had me. They parent different. When it comes to Billy Napier, it's what Lauren said. No, dude. At a certain point, you got, let me just say this. That ain't happening no more. He ain't saying that, hey, man, Vanderbilt's not going to play a good game. But the stuff we was doing, like that stuff with Jay Marshall, I ain't never seen that in football. I'm like, what is he? Like, that's the kind of stuff that make you go, wait a minute. Are we inventing stuff in 2022? I ain't never seen that before. And
what specifically are you talking about with Marshall?
I'm talking about the botch punt.
Well, he was a third team guy back there. He had.
But this thing. Okay, that's a great point. I don't care if he just got there. You don't feel the punt like that. You just don't. And
What happened to the great game changers of special teams? Come on, man.
Before you do anything on special teams, if you are a returner, I got to secure the catch. I don't care who you are. That is football 101. And with Jay Marsh, you see what happened when he do something stupid? Touchdown. Because I got a bunch of guys running full speed at me. You don't got a shot to make usually botch punts lead to fumbles, and then he's laying on the ground. He comes to that sideline. That special teams coach is like, what? What are you doing? I've never returned a punt in my life. I've been on punt team. I've been on punt return. I know this. You put your feet on the five. If it's behind you, I fair catch it. I try to become a blocker. I let it go in the end zone. That is football. That's the kind of stuff that Lauren's talking about. When you make up stuff in football, you lose. Every time you make stuff up, you lose. When Jay Marsh did that, if you just saw that play, right, you're thinking, what is he doing? He's trying to field a punt. Going in the opposite. No one does that. No returner in history. I guarantee you, in this week's special teams meetings, they're going to be coaches saying, y'all see this at Florida? If I catch y'all doing this, I don't care if you at FIU, Jackson State, Butler High School, Buchholz High School, PK Young, you cannot do that. It's stuff. Then you got Ventrell Miller. For what? Like, for that's why when you see coaches losing their mind on the sideline, that's why. Like, Ventrell. For what?
Well, Ventrell now has hurt him bad because they can't play the first half against FSU.
And the thing about it is this. You know what coach is going to say? So you finally get a penalty. It's against Vanderbilt. You was waiting all year to do that? Really? Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's the – winning and losing is so small, man. It's so that's why when you go watch the tape, how the coaches used to do us, they don't show us the game. They're going to say, let me show y'all the kind of stuff that happened compared to what's supposed to happen. What you're supposed to do on this play. And you know, a lot of guys go, I don't know, coach. You have guys on the field that don't know what they're supposed to be doing. Because, listen, and I'm going to keep on using Kamara, right? People talking about the pick that he missed. That second that touchdown to the tight end, the tight end is right in front of him, and he's looking back. What are you looking at, Kamari? That's why I don't get caught up in the 4-star, 5-star. And, Lauren, you know that stuff don't mean nothing. If you don't know how to function within a scheme, it's going to be a long year. I don't care who you got. And what you saw yesterday was you don't know nobody on Vanderbilt, and they play like that too. We know y'all don't know us. We know y'all don't care about us. So whatever we do, we going home anyway. But we going to show Florida, right. Hey, man, we ain't going to let y'all just – you know what they said? Hey, man, we saw how y'all played against Kentucky. We saw how y'all played against teams that beat y'all. And I don't know why we wasn't running the ball. Like, I don't know if AR-15s talked to Rashada or what. I don't know. But he wasn't pulling it and running it. So I don't care nothing about the 400 yards pass. Congratulations, but – and, Lauren, you was there in person. We made up so much stuff yesterday, and when you make up stuff, when you start getting penalties, when you start dropping balls, that's the end result.
All right,
there, get back on the plane.
All right, Lauren, go ahead.
No, let me I'm going to say – well, first thing is Jason Marshall is Florida's third returner, which means that he probably returned punts in high school. So, you know, those are basic fundamental things that are there. Now, all season for the last 11 games, we've talked about how Anthony Richardson's deficiency is throwing the football at a high clip. So what I don't understand is why we take his best thing and use his worst thing. So his best thing is running the football, and then we take his worst thing. And that's what I mean. I got to go back to the original question by Ms. Ferguson is, what do you want Billy to do? I want Billy to play to the strengths of his team. You should understand as a coach, your football team is in distress. You got an opportunity to flip the field, get it back. I would have sent Jason Marshall out there and said, unless the punt is short, do not field it, dude. We getting the ball back. Understand situations. Understand, it's like all of these things were supposed to be eliminated through analytics and all these things with Billy Napier. He got up there and he told us these things, and everybody talked about it, and he played it close to the vest and all the numbers and those kind of things. And now you're not seeing those things on the field. I'm with you, buddy. You can look at personnel, you can look at, like you said, the game changers, all these things that are supposed to be happening right now are not happening. And the difference between Kirby Smart's first year and Billy Napier's first year is, and as much as I hate to give Georgia credit for anything, you saw some of the things that Kirby had been preaching on display even in losses. Whereas with Billy Napier's, like at this point sometime, we're getting things that we're being told one thing, but we're getting another. And like I said, I'm so tired of, you know, and I hate to say this because, buddy, you know this isn't me, but I'm just getting so tired of that same rehearsed opening remarks. Like I said, like he's talking to a peewee. It's like one of those dads talking to a peewee football team as opposed to people that are knowledgeable about the sport, understand what's going on. And it's just like, man, throw yourself down on the sword. It could go a long way for you in so many different ways. And it's just not, I mean, I just don't understand it. It is incomprehensible that we did not show up at this point in the season. I could see if we would have went to Vanderbilt the fifth game, but week 11, it don't matter who you playing.
With you 100%. With you 100% on that. It's week 11.
I mean, yeah. I just don't understand it. I don't care that it's at Vanderbilt. I don't care if it was at, if we had to go up to Kent State in Kent, Ohio and play. It's week 11. We got to be ready to roll. Got to be. Gotta be
that. Yep. You could tell Laura used to be a coach, right?
Because oh yeah.
Oh my God. No. But I'm telling y'all. Listen. Just look at a coach in year one, and look at him year three or four. Look how much they've aged. That's what coaching does to you. That stuff, because you have to. You, Billy Napier. I do agree. At a certain point, right? The media are gonna start asking him hard questions.
Well, they're coming up. They're getting ready. They're starting to come up. There's going to be some bullets fired this week. Yeah.
Listen. When the media starts saying, you know, you said that last week, right? What is because the most inexcusable thing a coach will ever say is, it's my fault we didn't have him ready to play. But no, you get that in week two, week three. We weren't ready. You don't get that in week 11. I don't care who you play. I don't, because at the end of the day, if you took Jason Marshall out there and you didn't, for those of you who don't know, I think these quarterbacks got a mic in their helmet. I think these coordinators can talk to them about the whole play. They about telling them what the defense is. Now, the NFL, they cut it off in like 15 seconds or whatever they do. If Jay Marsh did not know to not feel that punt, that's a problem. If he didn't know that, forget the fact what he did. If they say, hey, man, why'd you feel this, man? Something told me not to feel it. And you didn't listen to yourself? You see what happens? Because there's the thing, even if you catch it, we on the five. Even if you catch the thing. Like, and that's what I'm saying. Overthinking and overcoaching will get you beat 99% of the time. And being afraid to pull the trigger gonna get you beat too. I'm sorry. You got Montrell, you got Etienne, and you got 15. And I'm like, it's like some of these plays, it's like the defense will like run it. And he'll just sit in the pocket. I'm like, what? I'm telling y'all, people, I don't like box scores. I hate it. Because it only tells half of what happened. Oh, he had a good game. Not if they didn't win it. So they see that 400 yards passing, the three touchdowns, and the one in the – no, dude. Look at the rushing yards. Because guess what I told you about Florida? Who had more rushing yards on Saturday? That would be Vanderbilt. Who won the game? Vandy.
Why did they abandon the running game at that point? You know they made a living off of it. Lawrence said – Laura, you said running game travels. Guess what? It didn't travel to Vanderbilt. They must have left it at the airport.
I don't understand. You're supposed to put that in your garment bag and roll with it, man. I don't understand it. Like, the running game was there for Anthony Richardson. It was clear that ETN, I even wrote it in my article, ETN and Montrell Johnson were not going to beat them. The great equalizer in the running game, particularly in today's offenses, is that third person that you have to account for in the QB. And the fact that we didn't take response, and I understand that sometimes they took the read from Anthony Richardson. Well, you know what? You line up like you did against South Carolina. You go unbalanced line. You bring the tight end over. The tight end taps his right butt cheek. And here we go for a touchdown, Anthony Richardson. In the first series of South Carolina, they did that. Why they didn't do that against Vandy, I don't understand. I mean, it's those kind of things on third and short, why you don't go back and do the very things that have been successful for you. And, you know, and I'm going to leave this alone after that. There's two kids that, you know, if anybody wants to reach out to, their names are Josh Smart and Roe Grigsby, two All-State punt returners that I coached in Ohio. And you know what they didn't do the entire time they were in high school? They never fair caught a punt. Because they understood that the first job was to secure the football and then make the first guy miss. The other thing they never did is ever fielded a punt going backwards inside the 10. They knew that if we get a stop, the very thing I don't want to do is give the ball back to the offense. I mean, and that's the thing. You look at the 122 rushing yards that they gave up to Vanderbilt's tailback is because he kept getting opportunities after third down miscues. And like I said, like I said, you have the 11th best rushing attack in the country, and you rush for 44 yards. It's inexcusable. I don't even know. I mean, as well as our defense was playing, like against Tennessee, Anthony had 44 passing attempts. We couldn't stop Tennessee. We were stopping Vanderbilt and continued to do what Anthony Richardson does worse. And then I'm going to tell you one more thing, and from a schematic standpoint, we get the ball back with a minute or so to go. Our first play from scrimmage in a two-minute drill, we take Dejon Reynolds, run him in motion to the backfield, and he stands there. Schematically, that makes absolutely no sense. It's a two-minute drill. Why would you put a receiver in motion and totally take him out of the play? So now you got three pass catchers versus their seven that they're dropping. I don't understand. It's like we hadn't practiced that as well. It's like we were not equipped to do what we needed to do in week 11. At week 11, you should be fielding punts inside the five. You should have a two-minute drill that's crisp and ready to go, and you should be doing what you do best. I mean, it's like we want that to be Florida's calling card, the running game, but Billy Napier and staff don't really want that to be their calling card, and I don't understand that.
All right, so let me go do this. I want to recognize Tracy Workman, longtime member here. She's from Mitchell GNK. She makes a great point. South Carolina, it turns out, beats Tennessee. We can't beat Vandy. That makes no sense. Now, I think a lot of people share that with Tracy, and I want to talk about in a minute, just a second, about where we go from here, because clearly things have got to be changed. And no disrespect to your coach, Ben. I love Ron Zook, great guy, great friend of mine. But his comments about that's correctable, he got to be known as Captain Correctable. And he kept saying that the entire 2 years. It's correctable. Well, then fix it. You know what I'm saying? Fix it. Love you, Ron, all that. Yeah, everything's correct, but we ain't got 5 years to wait on that, all right? There's some things that are broken, and among the things that I want to bring another guy in here to finish up the conversation. He wants to get his 2 cents worth in. But the bottom line is, you guys summed it up nicely. You're right. Once you're there, you got to execute and whatever. Don't abandon the game plan if it was running. Guys made mistakes. Some of that is on the coaches. Most of it's on the players. You're right on things like when to make the fair catch and not. That's on the coaches. The biggest thing I saw, besides the stupidity of the penalties, the utter stupidity, there were three penalties. That game would have been different. Those penalties, that ruined their chances. Big gainers, whatever. Take it away. Blown up. The targeting call. Stupid everywhere. Those things happened. That game was not only winnable, but should have been won by Florida and wasn't. Now, that hurts. Like I said, I thought this program, my bad, I thought this program was turning the corner. And I didn't predict it, but I expected them to beat Vanderbilt. Yeah, I did predict them to beat, well, and go to Tallahassee and maybe beat Florida State. Unfortunately, that was a lot of blue skies and green lights and whatever. That didn't work out that way. Now, here's what they lost, guys. They lost the bowl game. They're going like somebody, was it you, Lauren, that sent me a note, said Birmingham, whatever. You know, they lost the bowl. No, the ranking was right there for the taking. That ain't going to happen. The program is taking a big hit here. Fans are getting discouraged. I don't think it's time to abandon ship, because after all, this is the Orange and Blue Bunch show, right? This is the time when we talk about the uplifting things and tell folks. But I want each of you to take 2 minutes, minute and a half, because I'm going to bring another guy here at the end, you all know, just because he wants to get in. He's dying to get on the conversation. Give me a minute and a half. What do they need to do next? I've told you about players. They got rid of players they shouldn't have got rid of. They should have coached them up and let them hang around. They didn't have to run them off. And unfortunately, some of them quit. I get it. But they could have gotten a couple. They needed more depth. They didn't have it. It's arrogance to think, well, I can just cut who I want to and let them go away and I'll be fine. And guess what? They weren't fine. They took a hit. Yes, the second and third stringers played as good as they could as receivers, but you got a guy feeling the punch who can't do it. You try to keep the squad together. There are players who could help right now, could have helped. Players that couldn't make the field, that could have helped, they're gone. That's on the coaches, my friend. That's on the coaches. So they didn't have them ready to play. They also need to have some people. And don't just say recruit, recruit, recruit. Look, recruits are great. You got to coach them up. They got to be ready. They got to know what to do. And Lauren's right. You don't catch the ball back there. All right. Lauren, you go first. You got a minute and a half. Ben, you go after that.
At the risk of ultimately getting egg on my face, I will say that I think that Billy Napier is a good football coach. I think that he will put together an amazing roster. And I think that ultimately they will, become a pretty good football program. And I think that they will win on a consistent basis. What concerns me is that at this point in time, you know, they could go out and beat Florida State and, you know, we could all be gleefully happy and then say, man, what if? What concerns me about Billy Napier most is, and maybe it's just his personality, I don't know him very well at all. I've sat in press conferences, but like I said, it's the lack of, to me, I guess, taking some ownership from a personal standpoint of where things are. I mean, I know they got this big conglomerate of staff, people, and things like that, but I just think at some point in time, when you keep saying, you know, this, that, and, you know, you kind of just keep it simple, I think that has to come with results. And what I would caution him with is, you know, at some point in time, like you said, the boo birds are coming, this thing is starting to happen. And I hope that he doesn't get lost in the fact that at some point in time, what you say is not enough. It's what you do. And it's like we always say, I could show you better than I could tell you. And right now he's just telling us, he's not necessarily showing us. So, you know, I'm going to reserve long-term judgment. I really don't think he's not the guy. That's not the case. But like I said, what's frustrating is just the lack of what I think is a lack of information and not a lack of access to seat practice and those kind of things. But everything has been kind of kept close to the vest. And usually when that happens, the product represents this great birth of wow, now we see what's going on. And it's kind of the opposite right now. So I just caution myself individually to just not get egg on my face and say that this thing is not going the right
way. Yeah, I hear you. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just want to say with you. I'm with you on this. I got egg on my face because I called it a turnaround. Once it turned around, like I said, the blinker light was on. They didn't make the turn, and that's on the coaches. Now, again, I'm going to reemphasize, and I'm going to bring another guy in here with us, Ben, after you say this next piece, is that it is what it is. You got this team and these coaches. You can't change it now. You got to finish out the season. The FSU in a bowl game, and they're setting the edge for next year. And guess what? What you said is so true. Lauren, you're experiencing the media for the first time. The kind of post-game comments that you heard Billy make, what you get in the media. You get vanilla. You don't get the answers you want, okay? But he better, Ben, be ready to take some bullets because they're coming, all right? And that's a part of this job. If you don't know it, you're going to learn it. It's like going to Vanderbilt the first time. You better be careful. You didn't know what was ahead, and you got ambushed. And now you got to remember, this media can cut you to pieces, Ben.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with something that Lauren said. Lauren said, can't have too many more oh wells. I could deal with what if. I mean, too many more what ifs. Because the thing about this team is, Billy, I agree with you too, buddy. I do think it's a turnaround. But you know what they got? But you got to turn it on Saturdays. You got to turnarounds don't mean you're going to win, people. For those people, no. See, sometimes it takes a Vanderbilt to remind us we're in a rebuild because of what happened the week before. Oh, no. Sometimes you got to get reminded. So now what needs to happen is if you think that these guys that's not on campus yet going to be the savior, they got to learn college football first. I don't care what they are. Like, and to me, that's the most dangerous. Go to 2006. Urban Meyer didn't win because he had some great freshmen. He had guys that got recruited in 2003 on his team. He had those guys, right? I'm not saying Urban Meyer is not a hell of a coach. But what I am saying is we need to stop acting as if we're not in a rebuild. We're in a rebuild. It ain't what you wanted to be. It ain't what we thought it was going to be. But if it took Vanderbilt to get us to realize, hey, we're still in a rebuild, like, yes, you should have beat Vanderbilt. But this is the crazy part. Georgia's undefeated, right? Let me show you the difference. The great teams have bad games and win. You don't believe me? Georgia beat Mizzou 26-22. They beat Mizzou by 4 points, and they beat them. They beat Kentucky 16-6. That's how they won. Now, could you flip it? If Florida beat Kentucky 16-6, we gonna complain more about the win and that not that we won. That is where we are now. So you got to get to the point where football. I'm sorry, they don't call us and say, "Hey man, we're gonna let y'all have this blowout." No, Vanderbilt is in the SEC. They can play good football. We get caught up in one has the brand name in Florida, the other one is Vandy, right? But the problem is, Florida got beat by Vandy, not because Vandy is a better team. Vandy knows we can't have all them penalties, dude. We're not fielding punts. They're not doing the same. And next thing you know, you got you a win. And guess what? Vanderbilt said, we don't care. Because anybody that got something to say about the weather, Vanderbilt had to play in it too. They out there too. They got to deal with the same elements that Florida has. What Billy Napier's going to have to do is he's going to have to be less friendly and more blunt. Hey, man, this is off. Listen. You think Nick Saban care that people like him? I don't care. Nick Saban care that Miss Saban likes him. Hell, she probably don't like him either, but he paid the bill. so she gonna stay, right? I'm just saying Billy Napier got to learn that player coaches don't mean that you all buddy-buddy. They can love me when they playing days is over and they hopefully get all the things they wanted from these colleges and universities. But right now, when you got Princely saying, I'm going to play better, no, you got to do it now. These guys ain't no, I'm gonna do it next game and next game. Because if Billy Napier don't realize one thing right now, you had guys leaving the program that could have been key contributors coming up. Because you know what freshmen need? Direction. From who? Not coaches, upperclassmen. Coaches don't help players more than players do. I need a player to pull me under my wing and show me. But like I said, Vanderbilt, congratulations. You know, thank God I ain't got no friends that went there because I sure as hell ain't finna answer my phone. I ain't got no friends went to Vanderbilt. So I'm good, but we 6-5. And, you know, I think now more than ever, we just got, I mean, Billy Napier and this Florida team got to take a strong, hard look in the mirror and stop thinking that because they the biggest brand in the state of Florida, that means something. Y'all got to go out there and get it done. Because yesterday, I ain't going to use the word embarrassing because I respect everybody they play. But as far as like the things we done, that stuff, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, I know some of them jokers old enough to drink alcohol. I hope they wasn't drinking it for the game. Because some of that stuff yesterday, I'm like, Lauren, you were there in person. When you saw Jay Marsh field it, you like, what is he doing?
I don't think Lauren was there. He wasn't there yesterday, but we all saw it.
No, thank God. I didn't go. Yeah.
Yeah. He was smart.
Every special teams coach in America yesterday was losing their mind. When they saw that, they lost. Some special team coach got fired. For what Jay Marsh did, and he don't even coach in Florida.
Yeah, here's a new special teams coach right there at the bottom of the screen. He got a nice hat on. It looks like he's rocking.
Hey,
something.
Good morning, everyone.
Say hello to Brendan.
I don't know if it's a good morning, and I'm wearing this hat because it's cold out. You know that, and it's Florida, right? And you know what it means when it's Bruce cold Lord. Out in Florida? It means the Gators just played Vanderbilt because it happens every stinking year. And you know what? When we play Vanderbilt, we play them at the end of the year, and if we play there, it always is the biggest trap game ever. It makes every Gator fan nervous. And you wear these hats and you put on your sunglasses and you coach yourself because you're scared every year that you're going to lose to Vanderbilt. I get nervous when we play Kentucky, and I get nervous when we play Vanderbilt. Every year. And every great quarterback and every great team that's ever played, including Tebow, has had to make a comeback last-minute save at the end of the Vandy game because it's a rite of passage in this process of playing at University of Florida. So there ain't no big surprise here. And I'm with you all when I hear you talking, because I'm in the right now. I'm trying to show you. I'm in the kitchen at my house, and you know what happens when there's too many cooks in the kitchen? The recipe comes out bad. I think it's time to address the fact that we got 100 coaches that are weighing in on one recipe or two recipes, offensive, defense, well, four if you want to throw in special teams, fun kick. But you got too much static in the attic, and I don't care how many notes you take and how organized you are and how you put the O in OCD, and I'm talking about a certain head coach, that's great, but at some point, you've got to pull the string and you've got to say, you know what, this is how we're going to play this game, this is our scheme, and this is what we're going to do. Too many cooks in the kitchen, you just got to go win it, Mandy. That's it. Just go win. Anthony Richardson, figure out what you do really good, which is run the football. And it's cold, son. You're from Florida. I know you think you can overcome and whatever. Look, I grew up in Colorado. You know what we did when it snowed outside? We put our hands in the snow, and we got them cold, and then we ran the football. We didn't throw it. We didn't run around trying to figure it out. We just, hey, option left, sweep right, option right, sweep left, dive right. That's it. Smash mouth football. That's all I want to say. It ain't rocket science. Look, you can't play the smart kids, okay, and then go and be dumb. Okay? They're smart. They go to Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. My God, why is this so hard to figure out? It's like you can't go play chess against the kids that from the chess club. You're going to lose. You got to just keep it simple, stupid, and go play football in Vanderbilt where there's like 10 people in the stands, it's freezing cold, and everyone thinks it's going to lose. That's all I got to say.
All right. Good points. That you can stand right there. Let's let Lauren and Ben have the last crack. Address that if you'd like, Lauren, or whatever your final thoughts are. Brendan made some good points. He's right about a lot of that stuff. Your thoughts as a coach, and Ben, you've been to Vanderbilt many times. You played there. You played pro football in Nashville. I'll let you sum it up when he's done. Lauren, address what Brendan said.
I agree with what Brendan said. I think that, you know, we look like a football team that, you know, offensively, it's almost like, you know, when you're going to throw the ball that many times, particularly when you've been running it that way, you better clue the kids in on it. And it was almost like, the football team, the offensive team looked like they were unaware that they were going to throw the ball that many times. It was like they weren't clued in on the game plan. And like Brendan said, is what I've been saying pretty much the whole morning is you get up, you put your stuff on, you buckle up, and you go beat Vanderbilt. That's it. It doesn't matter what it is. And I love Brendan's point. The smart kids, you know, you can't give them an inch because they're not going to give you one. You can't go play the smart kids and play dumb. And like you said, you get in there, you buckle up, you do what you do best, you get that win, and you get on the bus, and you fly back home to sunny Florida. So, I mean, I think that's the best way to put it. Like I said, I don't want to sit here and act like Billy Napier is not the man for the job. I think he will be successful. But it's just some things that are frustrating. And like you said, I know you said in the media, you only get so much. It's not really that it's what he says. It's just how he says it. And to me, I don't think you can be one way. I don't think, Coach, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I don't think he walked in this morning and said, guys, it's on me. I didn't get you ready to play. I think he used the exact same language with his football team that he uses with the media. And that's the perseverance, the character, and all those kind of things. Coach, I was raised right. I got character. Coach, I made it to play Division I football. I know how to persevere. Let's get this win, Coach. That's what I'm trying to do.
All right.
Both 95% of these guys, and I've said it, buddy, they all come from good homes. They all were raised right. So character, perseverance, temperance, whatever word you want to use, they all got it.
Yeah.
Let's throw that out the window, and let's find a way to play football at a consistent high level, week in and week out, and that's what we expect. That's what any Division I football team expects.
All right, so you've experienced coach speak. Ben, tell him what that is. Coach Speak is talking in circles and going back to the old, same old things, and that's what they do. We know what he's really thinking. Ben, if you're Billy Napier, what are you thinking today?
That I'm going to have to figure out a better way to make sure that what I'm translating to the media is happening on the field, because I just saw it. Like, I just saw. So, and it's even what Brenda said. Look, football is hard when you make it hard. It's hard when you make it hard. You know what they should have did yesterday? They should have let Vanderbilt and Florida just hang out with each other at the game. You know what Vanderbilt going to say to Florida? What the hell wrong with y'all? Y'all know y'all just lost us, right? What's wrong with y'all? Because that's football. Listen, don't you know Vanderbilt think they're going to eventually lose? Like, hey, look, we're going to have a good game for three quarters. They're going to find a way to get a late touchdown and beat us. Then all of a sudden, that ain't happening, right? That ain't happening. Then they win. Then we got a Hail Mary. And when he threw it, and it went through the back of the end zone, the announcer don't even know what to say. The announcer like, I don't know what to
do. Where was he throwing that ball?
Like, sometimes it's good to win games so you don't know how players really think. Like, you don't even see stuff like that. Way back in the day, it was a quarterback by the name of Reggie Ball that went to Georgia Tech, right? It is fourth down. He throws the ball away. And after the game, he said, it's just a game, dog. If I play for Georgia Tech, I am swinging on Reggie Ball. We are going to fight. Because he don't even know the rules. You threw the ball. That's what Anthony Richardson did yesterday in the Hail Mary. We know you can throw it in the end zone, but you have to throw it to somebody. You threw it to the guy in the stands. And the guy in the stands don't even want to catch it. Like, what are you doing? I'm telling you, we lost to Vanderbilt from just blatant disrespect and just doing the dumbest stuff you ever seen. I'm telling you, look, once again, hey, Ben, we need you to go field a punt. All right, because you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to catch it, and I'm not going to try to catch it going backwards. I'm not going to catch it. They can kick it short, long. I'm going to wave my hand, and I'm going to run off the field, become a blocker. But, no, we give up a touchdown.
Yeah.
So the highlight of that, the highlight, you shouldn't even know who a long snapper is on nobody's team. And we gave up a touchdown to Vanderbilt. That's the highlight of his life. Beat Florida, got a touchdown.
Of his life.
He's going to get
you just lost to the kid you went to high school with beating like a drum. A whole team of them.
Yeah. Listen, the long snapper from Vanderbilt is going to be the number one financial advisor in the Southeast. You know why? Because he's going to be able to start a firm because he had a touchdown against Florida. That's going to be his story for the rest. Yeah, I scored against Florida. And listen, the story going to get better and better as he gets older. Oh, my God. He's going to go from one touchdown to I ran it back because Florida does what nobody does. We put people in position to win games. They ain't got no business winning. They run the ball. We don't. They can't throw the ball. That's all we doing. So what, we want to prove to Anthony Richardson can throw? He ain't. Where's Pearsall? You gonna wait for him to throw up with a bunch of backup? So you wait for the guys that he told you not to be there. Then you want to. I love Justin Shorter. I love that catch he had on the sideline. Great. But what? Look, at the end of the day, football is predictable. That's why Tony Romo has a job in media because he knows exactly what the offense is going to do. Oh, he's calling the plays. He got to call them for 13, 14 years with Dallas. They're not switching it up. If it's fourth and three and we got a 240-pound quarterback and we throw it, turn the TV off. Just turn it off because they turn it in too much. I don't care if he completes it. What's easy to do? He scored last week because this is what they did. They brought Odom in motion. They let Etienne and Montrell get out there as a second blocker, and it's a touchdown because I got blocker 240 pounds. A week later, they don't even let him run it. Now that's half him and half what they calling. Right now, Vanderbilt players, you know what they saying? Hell, when the last time we had two victory Sundays? That's back to back. They don't know what to do with Vanderbilt right now. They losing their mind. They getting people letting them in bars and everything. They put their parents calling them saying congratulations. And guess what? If they win on Saturday, they're going to have six wins. You know who else got six wins? Kentucky. You know who else got six? Florida. So I just don't get it, man. And like I said, it ain't It ain't, well, it's half Vanderbilt because I can't get over Lane. My mom went to a wedding yesterday. You know why? Because Florida played Vanderbilt. I don't got to watch that. They're going to win. And I called her after the game and said, Mama, did you see the game? Florida lost. She goes, what? Yes, Mama. They lost.
I don't even know. I wish one. Which damn
is a Commodore train? Is a Commodore train?
No, a Commodore. Train? Commodore is a guy that is in the Navy.
Navy.
No, a Commodore. No, the Commodores is a music group from back in the day.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I know. Yeah,
that's the Commodores.
Yeah,
I thought it was the Big Bird.
Listen, yeah.
Lionel Richie.
Listen, at the end of the day, if by the end of the day y'all have alcohol on y'all breath, nobody's gonna be mad at you. Nobody's gonna be mad at you.
Okay, I'm gonna wrap this up, guys, and we'll say one thing.
You're not going to outsmart the smart kids. Stop it. Just go beat them up and be done with it and go home and be done with it.
All right, so here's the deal. Coach, don't tell me it's correctable or fixable anymore. Fix it. And let's start with, how about a two-point conversion that works? My word. You got to have a better ball play call than that.
And you had to bring that up too.
Make it worse, didn't you?
Yeah, I can give it one. I can draw one up. I can do that. I'm not even a coach. Awesome. Yeah.
Awesome day for me. Now I'm day drinking. Yeah. Awesome.
So there you go. By the way, somebody said, go ahead and run his insurance card for the therapy today. So I hope we can be a little bit of help. Good job, guys.
This is therapy.
Yeah, so I say it's therapy. So good job, Lauren. Good job, Ben. Good job, Brendan. I got to move on to phase two, which, by the way, just let me say, if you're not reading Gator Bait, and Lauren, you write for it, I write for it, Brendan runs it, we are really proud of the work we're doing. And I want to thank the people who turned out yesterday in record to subscribe to the great work our people are doing. We got a tremendous bunch of people. Ben, I didn't get that article. Did you send it in? I must have missed it.
No, man. I'm gonna be the Gator Bait therapist.
All right.
That's perfect. That's what I want, man.
All right.
I want therapy with Dr. Troop.
Listen. But the reason why you couldn't find it because it says Ben Troop Liquors on the front. It's therapy on it. You got to come through the door.
Dr. Troop.
That way, no matter what I say, you feel like you got your money's worth. I ain't saying nothing that's gonna help your life. But you feel a little different because I gave you some of that hen doggy dog.
All right, so here we got it. We're going to start something called Ask Ben. Ask Ben.
Ask Dr. Troop.
Yeah, no, Pastor.
Say, give me what you gave Brendan. I said, because Brendan won't that Colorado stuff. I had to fly his stuff in. He was that nice.
That's right. I'm going to give out 100 subscriptions to coaches today to all the Gator Florida football staff, and they're going to need to go to school and learn some history about what it's like to play Vandy in Vandy.
Well, Ben can tell you. Ben can tell you. All right, guys, great job, fellas. And this is what this show is for, a little bit of therapy, a little bit of information. We got to do it again next week after FSU. I hate to think what might be said next week if they lose to FSU, but I'm going to be positive. I'm going to end it with this. Billy Napier's
a red ass next week. That's all I say. Red ass on that FSU next week. That's all I got to say.
Anyway, back to the point of here, which I am still a Billy Napier guy. He will turn it around. I don't have a lot of evidence to show today. It's a little dispiriting for all of us who believed in Billy, but they got to do something different and start with fixing what's broken and you get it done, Billy. Get it done.
It's better cold weather gear, too. That gear is way over straight 80s.
All right. Good job, guys. Ben, Lauren, Brendan, have a great one. Have a good week. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And we'll see you back here tomorrow night on the Buddy Martin Show. Thanks, guys.
All right.